Bird's Eye View is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
And welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your official source for a lack of insight and baseless opinion. Today is February 17th, 2014. I am Scott Christopher Magnus, and I'm here with Jake.
You have no idea.
I have no clue.
Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day. Jake, big boy English.
So this is episode 65.
Yeah, this is episode 65, everybody. Welcome aboard. You can find us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You should go to the Baltimore Sports Report Network, which can be found at www.baltimoresportsreport.com/network. Find us at iTunes by searching for Bird's Eye View Baltimore, or just type in Orioles Podcast, and heck, we'll pop up right away as pretty much the number one podcast. That's right, Section 336. You can represent that you're not actually the number one podcast. But actually, you know, everybody on the Baltimore Sports Report Network is an amazing talent, and you should go and represent all of them. Like them, star them, give them 5-star ratings, and you know what? You might get pleasured in return. You should also go follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/BEVcast. Follow us on Google Plus for anybody out there that still uses that obsolete piece of programming. Or my personal favorite, go follow us on Twitter at Bird's Eye View BAL. That way you can listen to us in 140 characters and avoid listening to us for an entire hour.
I think that's a mixed message at most. Can I step in here and just do a quick little bit of business? We still encourage you, if you're going to be on Amazon anyway, if you're going to make a purchase, please click through the banner at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. We'll use that to continue to bring you terrible programming. And with that, Scotty, I think it's time for your and my favorite portion of the show.
I believe it's time for the drink of the week. So drink of the week this week is, we're actually doing a shared combination tonight. We are drinking two Tall Boy Natty Bows, classic for Baltimore, in honor of a celebration for tonight. But we will get to that a little bit later. Jake, before we get into a celebration, there was a, well, it's apropos actually now that this has happened, but you actually had a interesting segment on the Baltimoreans this past weekend. Yes, that's right, at Baltimoreans, another sister wife of ours. You should go follow them as well and search for them, because they're really funny, and my wife is deep, deep in love with them, and is waiting to divorce me to move up to New York with them.
Well, your wife is not the only big fan of the Baltimoreans podcast. A favorite of mine, they do a
so you also, and my wife are going to move up to New York to spend time with the Baltimoreans.
Your wife and I are going to divorce you and leave you for New York. Yes.
Wow. So this is how it starts.
So I'm a big fan of theirs. They have a segment called the Seventh Inning Sketch, which is a little more, you know, creative than it is informative. And I provided a small segment for them, a takeoff on the I'm Just a Bill song from Schoolhouse Rock. And it's called I'm Just a Deal. So make sure that you go to the Baltimoreans' most recent episode. I think it's episode 84.
Episode 82, I believe.
Okay, I can't count, read
yeah,
or write.
I think it's episode 82 for those people that actually care about the Baltimoreans. But we could play it here on this episode. But you know what? We want you to stop what you're doing right now. Just don't listen to us any further and just go listen to the Baltimoreans. That's the message we're trying to drive across, right?
Maybe not quite that strong.
Okay, so come back after you've done listening to us and be like, well, what am I going to listen to now? And go listen to the Baltimoreans.
We'll take sloppy seconds. That's fine. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I worked with Sam and Alan, and of course, they're just fantastic Baltimore sports guys.
Okay, enough patting yourself on the back. It's time for the twat.
I like the twat. This week on the Twitters. First, I will say, this week on the Twitters had some adventures in being a Ravens fan. There were a couple of things going on. This is terrible. So, Ray Rice got himself into a something.
Yeah, it was a something. There was a domestic situation. Look, I'm just going to say this really quickly, and it's very simple. I think I speak for everybody in the world. Never, ever, ever go to Atlantic City, people. It just ends poorly, okay?
Don't go to New Jersey.
Don't go to New Jersey. It just ends poorly, okay?
It's like nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Nothing good happens in Jersey. Yeah.
If you have to go up and see the Baltimore Orioles, just go around. Go through Pennsylvania and just avoid New Jersey.
The tweet that we liked the most from this particular event was Ethan Felderstein from, I think he's with Ozone Censored. And his tweet was as follows. He said, here are the following people that can be blamed for Ray Rice's arrest. Joe Flacco, fair. Cam Cameron.
Definitely fair.
Juan Castillo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Peter Angelos.
Definitely.
Obama.
Okay, yeah, that last one.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that last one. But okay, but the rest of them are perfectly fair, but okay.
I thought that was spot on.
Yeah.
What else do we have going on in Ravens land this week?
Other Ravens news. Terrell Suggs signed a contract extension, which will pretty much guarantee him to be a Raven for life. You know, I've seen positive and negative things for this, but the big aspect is it frees up salary cap and it makes Suggs a Raven for life, which I think is a good institution to keep for the franchise. The one tweet that I thought was interesting was from Matt Lund. You can follow him at Matt C. Lund, L-U-N-D. And it says, glad to see Suggs in the fold for the remainder of his Ravens career. An extension will help retain other key free agents this offseason, team player. And I think the one person that jumps out again is our white tight end.
Sure. Yeah, we absolutely need him.
So it will be interesting to see what they do with our white tight end as opposed to the black tight end. And, you know, whether they sign him to a contract or if they put a franchise tag on him.
Well, he's definitely priority number one. They gotta keep Pitta in some way, shape, or form, particularly because you might lose Jacoby Jones and other key portions of the offense.
Well, I mean, I think retaining Pitta, because again, he served more as your slot receiver as well, was sure. A key aspect. So Pitta is an absolute keep. It's just a question of how do you do it? Do you let him test free agency or do you put the franchise tag on him? Personally, I say you let him hit free agency. I have a feeling that Pitta will be back in. Be there to support Joe, who I think has built up a great camaraderie with us.
All right, I'll take that. The Fu Manchu brothers, if you will. All right,
but damn it, enough football talk. Okay,
yes, we've had plenty this week, and we'll get to the big one at the end here. But we've had a lot this past 2 weeks for Oriole fans in search of starting pitching. There was the search for Arroyo and Burnett and a guy from Korean, Mr. Yoon. A lot of activity on the Twitters for those three guys.
So we really only have one person to thank for all these, you know, movings and shakings on the Orioles. And actually, that's Josh Scirocco out there. Josh Scirocco went out and met Dan Duquette on February 5th. And this was his tweet. Great meeting at Dan Duquette tonight at BW Wings at Bowie Bay Sox. Hashtag Section 336. And then there's a beautiful picture of Josh Scirocco with Dan Duquette arm in arm. And I just want to know who picked up the tab, because I guarantee it was Josh Scirocco, because there's no way that Dan Duquette was able to afford Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's a good point.
I also question the aspect of, and this is the kind of hard-hitting information I really wish Section 336 would cover, is what kind of flavor did Dan Duquette have on his wings that night?
So you're saying that Josh may have had some influence on the way this week went down?
Absolutely. Being the number one podcast in Baltimore, I think you have that kind of influence.
All right. I like that. Yeah. You know, a lot of pitchers fell off the board and people freaked out when Arroyo was gone and people freaked out when Burnett was gone. I thought it was a lot. Yeah, I know. I thought it was a little overblown because I don't think that either of those guys should have been seen as a slam dunk. They're the kind of guys that the Orioles should have gone after, but I wasn't very hopeful that they'd get here.
I agree with you. They're not slam dunks, but there wasn't anybody in this whole free agency class that I considered to be a slam dunk. I'm really actually looking even into next year. I really don't consider any free agent as a slam dunk candidate. I think whenever you go into free agency, you are tempting the waters. If you really want a pride and true, you know, player, you're going to go through your farm system. But if you're trying to, you know, support or band-aid your team, free agency is where it's going to be, and there's going to be risk. If there wasn't risk, then people would be signing people for long-term contracts.
Well,
FYI, Orioles. So, you know, speaking about the core and stuff like that, I think it's a good time to mention. Well, no, you don't want to talk about that right now?
I want to talk about one more pitcher.
Okay.
And that's the Korean-born pitcher, Seokmin Yoon.
Yes.
Who?
Suk. Not Suk.
No. Did you see the thing I posted with the pronunciation guide?
I did.
Seokmin Yoon.
No, Suk.
You do it your way. I'll do it mine.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought it was hysterical on Twitter that he posts a selfie, like apropos of nothing, of him wearing an Oriole hat, which I think is like a kid's like dugout club Orioles hat. And then
they don't give those away anymore. Those are hard to get.
Twitter went insane where it was like, oh my God, he's going to sign with us. And then there was silence. Silence from the Orioles, silence from his guys. And it was like, did we just get Rickrolled by Twitter? Man, they did end up signing him, though.
Now, see, if I was really talented here, I would have the Rickroll.
That's okay.
Never going to give you up.
All right, we'll stop there.
Yeah.
But it was funny watching the Twitter response to the selfie. You know, what does it all mean? Is he coming? Blah, blah, blah. He's got to be coming. And then dealing with both the silence and with the signing.
Okay, and you know, speaking of Josh Soroka, if you want to go and influence the Orioles' decisions going forward, it's a good time to go talk to Josh Soroka on March 16th. Okay, so go on March 16th. Section 336 is holding this huge party down in Mothers and Arnold. It's a great time to go down with them, rub elbows with the elite, and be that closer to the number one Orioles podcast. Actually, number one sports podcast in all of Baltimore.
I totally just blew that ad, didn't I?
You did.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Boys, sorry.
Yeah, he owes you one.
Everybody should definitely go see their live show. He said it's March 16th at Mother's Grill in the Mother's in Peninsula Grill.
Right? Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold. So, yes. You should go. I'll be there. I'll be drinking.
A good time will be had by all.
A good time will be had by all. I'm hoping there'll be goats there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. There were some other interesting things that happened on the Twitters in this past 2 weeks. One, we're just going to call it old man pop culture potpourri.
Hey, that sounds right up our alley.
I was not pleased with something that got tweeted out. A lot of the world stopped to watch that Grammy salute to the Beatles. And actually, some of the attention crept onto our, you know, feed, which is mostly sports.
And old men.
And old men. People talking about it. But I'm going to take issue with Casey Willett. Casey Willett tweeted out, and of course, that's at CDWill77. He said, I don't care for the Beatles' music and got called an idiot. Yeah, that makes sense. America. Casey, look, I like you a lot. I like what you write. I like what you tweet. I'm a big fan of your work on WBAL. Yes, if you don't like the Beatles, you're an idiot. This is a fact. This is a fact beyond all measure. I can't help you with this one, Case. I can't help you.
If you don't like the Beatles, you're a communist.
That's right.
It's as simple as that.
Go home. All right. And that aside, also, this last two weeks, the retirement announcement of Derek Jeter.
Womp, womp, womp. But, you know, there was a lot of hullabaloo and, you know, a bunch of Yankees fans came up to me and I'm like, oh, he's the greatest of all time. And I'm like, I'm not going to get into this argument with you. I'm not going to shatter your dreams. I'm just going to let it lie.
All right, but, get into this argument with me.
Is he the greatest of all time?
No, he's not the greatest of all time.
Of course not.
Is he a great player?
Yes, he's a great player.
Is he... And he's going to end up at least ninth on the all-time hits list, right?
3,300 hits. I don't think that puts him in ninth.
Okay, he's up pretty high. Yeah, I think it's nine. If we had any...
Yeah, he'll end up with like 3,400 hits, which that's very respectable.
Yeah. You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
First ballot.
And
no question.
Do you think he's the type of guy that, you know, respects the game and all that crap?
Well, speaking about game... Derek Jeter definitely does have game. There was a post on Twitter from @SportsNation, which again is an ESPN site, so I don't really like to mention it too much. But it basically shows Derek Jeter's dating diamond. So I'm just going to go through this quickly. Catcher, Minka Kelly. Pitcher, Hannah Davis. First baseman, Jordana Brewster. Second baseman, Adrian Lima. Shortstop, Scarlett Johansson. Third base, Vanessa Manillo. Left field, Mariah Carey. Center field, Jessica Alba. Right field, Jessica Biel. Oh, and a DH, Tyra Banks. Good God almighty. The trim that he has had is unbelievable.
It's a good tweet. I thought the tweet would have been more powerful if it had pictures of those names that you just rattled off rather than Derek Jeter's face.
This is why you're the brains of the organization.
Just saying.
Yeah, you could work for ESPN.
Sports Nation, come talk to me. We'll figure it out.
So I want to come back and I want to break one of my rules and... There was a comment on Reddit, and we came across Reddit when we were talking to Operation Hagee. And there was a comment made about our podcast.
Oh, I'm interested to hear it.
Okay. So it's from an individual that says, yes, this is me is mine. Okay. And it says, I just started listening to Bird's Eye View, and they are the gooberiest of goobers, but they had this strange charm to them. I can't stop listening.
I'm sorry, one more time. We're the gooberiest goobers?
Gooberiest of goobers.
I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I. Does that make us old?
It doesn't sound like high praise.
Okay.
Nor should it be. I just, the gooberiest of goobers.
Yeah.
We need to find out more about this. If you, listening, both of you, know what a gooberiest goober is, you need to let us know.
I think Urban Dictionary, but it still didn't really give me what I needed.
I'll bet not.
Yeah.
So go ahead, tweet
something
us.
Something about putting peanut butter on my belly button.
Comment on the show
frog.
Notes. Send us a message on Facebook. Let us know if we are in fact gooberiest goobers, and if so, what that means, because we want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, okay. So speaking about getting to the bottom of things,
there's one last thing we need to deal with on the Twitters this week. It actually happened this evening as we got ready for the show. News broke all over Twitter, and that was that the Orioles are on the verge of signing free agent pitcher Hubaldo Jimenez to a four-year, $48 million contract. It came over Twitter from Rockabaco.
And Ken Rosenthal.
Confirmed by Ken Rosenthal, yep. And basically everybody else in the industry followed suit. So, Scotty, it looks like the Orioles are going to make this move pending a physical. So what are your thoughts on the deal?
I think it's the kind of move that the Orioles needed to make. A four-year, $48 million deal is right there with Garza, in my opinion. But, you know, looking at the numbers that Jimenez is posting, I think Jimenez has the ability to be a lot healthier. He hasn't missed a single major league game in his entire career, which I think is something that is a significant difference from Garza, where Garza has come off of major surgeries in the past. There is a few other issues. His walk count is very high, which a lot of people are going to point to and say, okay, if his walk count's high, that means his pitch count is going to be high, which means that we're getting into the bullpen quicker as well. So did we really improve here? However, he does have a good ground ball percentage rate. It's right around 45%. You know, if he can keep, you know, the fly balls down in Camden Yards and keep that ground ball percentage up, he should be a great pitcher. He should be a number two pitcher. He could even be a number one pitcher if he improves, and he could be competing right against Tillman. This is a great opportunity for the Orioles to solidify the top of the rotation, which we've been asking for them to do year in and year out.
Well, I think the thing that's important is you absolutely are right in saying that he has his warts. This pitcher absolutely is not perfect. But that having been said, I think of the pitchers that were available, and I wanted much safer picks. I'm gonna be on record and say this. You know, I didn't say the whole time we should have gotten
Who are your safer bets?
Burnett.
Okay, AJ Arroyo. Burnett. Okay, Arroyo actually is a high fly ball pitcher, so Jimenez is actually a better pitcher than Arroyo.
But my point with Jimenez is that I think that he offers a higher ceiling. I think his highs are going to be higher, and he has the ability for his lows to be lower as well. But I think that if they can harness that, he can be a good pitcher. He can, as you said, be a pitcher that's in that top one or two slots in the rotation. The thing to keep in mind is that what the Orioles needed to get better was they needed a stable rotation. And again, I'm going to go back to something I said 2 weeks ago, which is the guy that you sign, is he better than your fifth starter? And I think absolutely that's true, that he's better than the Zach Brittons and the Steve Johnsons and the Alfredo Aceveses and the Steve Johnsons or whoever else we could have put in the fifth spot of the rotation. I think it instantly solidifies the rotation. It pushes all that junk back further so that it turns into depth and not requirements. And it gives the Orioles a pitcher who has a bit of a pedigree. You know, remember, he had a really stellar end of the season. He had a strong September, and he pitched with the Indians into the playoffs. Now, again, they didn't get incredibly far, but he's somebody that you can hand the ball to and depend on. And I think that's something that we've desperately needed and something that this club needed to at least try to acquire.
Right. The biggest aspect is going to be, okay, it costs us a first-round draft pick. Okay, it costs you a first-round draft pick. As we covered last year, a first-round draft pick gives you certain trade-offs. The aspect is it's a crapshoot a lot of times. Yes, we've had good success, but yes, we've had bad success. You eventually have to take these risks every once in a while and just say, let's roll the dice and see what happens. I'll throw this right at you too. Let's hypothetically say the Orioles go ahead and say, we want Jimenez. We bring him in. He pitches for us for a year. And then, you know, Orioles do terrible this season. Okay. There's tears in Mudville. Let's say we come in next year for 2015. the Orioles are still terrible, you have the opportunity to come in halfway through that season and say, you know what? We have got a pitcher here that has 2.5 years left on his contract. We can trade him for prospects and start rebuilding the team from scratch.
It also allows us to keep him and deal a guy like Tillman.
I totally agree with you about that. What I'm saying is it gives you a multitude of options here. 4 years for $48 million, I think that's a great deal. When you can give consideration that Feldman went for 3 for $30, I think this is a great deal for the Orioles. Everything that people forecasted thought that he would be making 4 years for $60 million. Dan Zebrowski has come out and said this trade value, this deal is right up there with the draft pick compensation. So this is a perfect deal for the Orioles. This is the kind of deal that the Orioles needed to make.
The other thing, and I've been raging all offseason on the fact that they're not doing anything to build on the nucleus. They're not doing anything to take that step forward. And I at least have to shut up about the fact that the Orioles haven't been trying to get better in the biggest area of need, which is starting pitching. You know, I think that they absolutely needed to try something, not spend money for spending money's sake, not making a move to appease the fans. That's not what it's about. They needed to try something. You know, the whole great risk-reward thing. They needed to swing. And if it turns out at the end of the season that they swung and missed, I can at least give them the fact that they tried. You know, I hope that they are right. I hope that they're spending money in the right place. I hope all that happens. But I at least have to give them credit. They are trying to make this club better.
Yeah, again, it comes back to the aspect of a four-year, a multi-year deal for a free agent pitcher hasn't happened in over a decade. The last time we had a multi-year deal for a free agent was Miguel Tejada back in the day. I mean, that is just an eternity.
You know, the other thing that's notable about this signing is it's the first time, I think it's the first time ever that the Orioles have given more than 3 years to a free agent pitcher. This breaks that long-standing rule of, you know, no further than 3 years.
Yeah, it gets into a difficult situation because I think Ponson actually was a free agent.
Oh.
I think he was coming back because we traded him halfway through the season and he came back to the team. So I'm going to give you a single, just like the Baltimoreans would give you in their segment. So okay, you get a single.
But still, it's a single. It's a lone exception.
Yes.
And it's been a long time.
And it's Sidney Ponson, so let's not talk about that ever again.
It's definitely a departure in something that's from a policy that's frustrated fans.
Right.
And so that is another good sign to kind of see that the Orioles have not only pried open their wallet, but they've kind of broadened their horizons on the way they do business. And Dan Duquette's been on record for saying he doesn't like dealing in free agency, but maybe, you know, just maybe they're getting around to the fact that it's a necessary evil to put on top of all the good work that they do in international signings and player development, et cetera.
Well, let's come back to that really quickly. Ken Rosenthal was out at Orioles camp earlier this week, and he was talking to Dan Duquette about this and said, you know, would you be willing to trade the draft pick? And Dan Duquette said, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've given consideration. And the possibility came up to us. So I said, well, if you go and sign one person, would you be interested in sending a second player and giving up your second round draft pick? And Dan Duquette's comment at that point was, I think that makes reasonable sense to do that. I think that's where you would have to go and do it. It's your best opportunity. Once you've done it, you basically have broken the dam, is to go and just basically get whoever you need to get. So it raises the interesting question. If Abato Jimenez is signed and you've lost your first round draft pick, do you go out and get somebody else and sacrifice your second round draft pick? Do you go out and get a Kendrys Morales? Because the Morales market is not going to be really big out there for a first round draft pick. For a second round draft pick, might be a lot bit more interesting.
I can tell you, I think it's a difficult question, and this is why. They've already given up now their first-round draft pick. They're giving up their compensatory draft pick because of the Bud Norris signing last year. And so giving up another pick for Kendrys Morales would mean they're not picking until kind of late. You know, they don't get their first pick until kind of late.
I agree with you about that. But if you look at the probability of how much success a second-round draft pick has over a third-round draft pick, it is infinitesimal.
I wholeheartedly agree. And the MLB draft is such a crapshoot anyway.
Right.
I agree. I, however, want to at least pay credence to the other side of that argument, which is that they're giving up a lot of draft picks if they sign another player.
Okay, fair enough. My other point would be, you know, the Orioles were dead last pretty much in international free signings last year. The Orioles could easily come back and say, okay, we're not going to be spending money in the draft. Instead, we're going to focus entirely on international free agency. Now that we have developed our international free agency scouting department, which was not in existence a few years ago.
Sure, the infrastructure is there now.
The infrastructure is there now. Let's go out and do it. We'll just have to avoid young talent in Korea, basically. That's the only deal. So, you know, I was trying to figure out ways for us to get Morales, and I wasn't a huge Morales proponent, but the market was so soft on him. I was like, we've got to figure some way to get him because he would be such a benefit to this lineup. I think Morales happens now. I know that is just, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid tonight, but I do think Morales happens.
I want to be careful first because, you know, when A.J. Burnett
said, damn it, I'm tired of being careful. Let's just buy shit.
When A.J. Burnett said he wasn't going to retire, you know, the Oriole fans went crazy saying, we ought to get him, we ought to get him. And that became synonymous with, we will get him, we will get him. And they really built themselves up into being disappointed. I think that we want to be careful about Kendrick Morales. I think he would be a good signing for this team. And I think that if the Orioles go out and get Jimenez and get Morales and address their two gaping holes, which are starting pitching and DH, all of the other signings they've made this offseason then get put in proper perspective.
Right.
You know, then we're getting depth and addressing our needs. Correct. And I think it takes the whole offseason on its head. I think it goes from being an E or an F to like a B minus.
I'm okay with a B minus.
Me too. Well, yeah. I'm a lot better with B minus than I am with an E.
Yeah.
But
That might let me keep my scholarship, so I'm okay with that.
I agree with you. I think that the Orioles now need to be aggressive going after Kendrick Morales. And I think that it's fully possible that while I freaked out and yelled and stamped my foot about being so pissed for the Orioles approach, it may turn out at the end of this offseason that Dan Duquette did know what he was doing, that he waited until the market got really soft for these people, that they could go and get them on a contract that the Orioles are more comfortable with paying. You know, now that Kendrick Morales is basically unsigned into spring training, you know, it's possible the Orioles will get a better deal now than they would have if they had approached him earlier.
Or maybe we just have Josh Soroka to thank.
That is also very possible. So I think that the Jimenez signing is a good one. I think he has every capability of being a good pitcher for the Orioles. I'm more enthused about...
You did something.
I'm more enthused about the fact that the Orioles are actively trying to make their club better so that they have a chance in 2014 to compete for the playoffs.
Right. Speaking about competing, guess what? Spring training started. So
go on.
Yeah, let's take a quick break because, man, we have been talking incessantly now. And people deserve to listen to some music. So, folks, we'll be right back.
It's the time of the season when blood runs high in this time. Give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun.
Ah, yes, it is finally here. Spring training has come to us in this snow sheltered Baltimore area. Thank God. Thank God.
It feels no warmer, the fact that spring training is here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It is still too damn cold outside.
Okay. It is cold outside, but, you know, just seeing grown men in white uniforms just tossing a ball back and forth, it just does something for me inside.
Yeah, I'm not really sure that's this podcast that you need to be on talking about that. That's a different... All right, so we're talking about spring training. Yes, pitchers and catchers reported on the 13th. And we should be excited about that. I think that definitely is a great sign that baseball is right around the corner. Let's talk about that with pitchers and catchers, though. I mean, what are our big stories so far that we need to kind of keep track of?
Sure. Well, before tonight, there was the discussion about who's going to be your fifth starter. And there's been a rotation basically selected of Brian Mattis, TJ McFarland, Zach Britton, Kevin Gausman, Steve Johnson, and Alfredo Aceves, to try to work out and say, let's see who actually is really as good as they say they are. And you know, the one name that pops out right there that you really wouldn't expect is Alfredo Aceves. And Rakabako and Buck Showalter have both been talking incessantly about him. And all I can think of myself is, oh dear God, why?
Well, I mean, he's kind of a basket case.
He's crazy. He's an absolute crazy man.
But he has had some success as a starter in the AL East. Not a lockdown starter. He hasn't been a dominant starter, but he has had some success.
Define success?
I don't have any stats in front of me because I don't do that.
Okay.
But he's performed well against some of the AL East opponents. He's performed well against...
Define well?
He's performed well against the Rays, against Toronto, and against Boston.
You know, this actually brings up a funny story. I was at a sales meeting, and the owner of the company kept asking the question, you know, how big is this opportunity? And every single person kept on saying huge or big. And eventually the person said, God damn it, just give me a number. And I was just like, well, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, just big or huge, huh?
Yeah.
It was this big, huh?
It was this big. Okay. I'm not saying that he should start. I'm just saying it's not crazy talk. He has, at times, been good enough to be the fifth starter on the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay. I totally disagree. The way I perceive Alfredo Céspedes is he is my Josh Stinson of the 2014 Orioles.
Well, God, I hope he is.
Okay. That's who I consider it to be. So any possibility or positive notion that people are putting on for Aceves is just, holy shit, we have nothing else to talk about. So let's mention a dark horse candidate.
Well, you know, and it's kind of a moot point now that we have Baldo Jimenez in the field.
Thank God.
Because it's going to be Tillman. I think Tillman is still probably your number one starter.
Definitely.
So you got Tillman, you've got Jimenez, followed by Chen, Gonzalez, and Bud Norris. I think that rounds out our five.
Yeah, that pretty much rounds out your five, unless Gausman supersedes.
Well, I think that Gausman will probably start in AAA, which is where they want him to get additional seasoning. And remember, none of these guys are going to be healthy, you know, throughout. And all five guys are not going to make 30 starts. And we've required, 12, 13 starters each year. That means that we need viable spot start candidates. And I think that, again, as we've talked about, if we don't have to depend on this stable that you just named, the McFarlands and Gausmans and Steve Johnsons and Alfredo Aceveses of the world for every fifth day, but rather every once in a blue moon, mm-hmm. I think that they turn into an asset rather than a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I think the aspect is you're looking at players with options here. Kevin Gausman has options, and TJ McFarland also has options too. So you could actually flip-flop those two pitchers back and forth depending on how injuries stack up as well.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying I want TJ McFarland in the rotation that often, but for a spot start or two, it's definitely a possibility.
Absolutely.
Zach Britton and Brian Mattis is a different story. Zach Britton and Brian Mattis are strictly bullpen arms at this point, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I wonder what happens because you've only got so much room in the bullpen for lefties. I think that Brian Mattis is clearly going to be there. Troy Patton, I think, is the solution throughout the season, but he's suspended for that first 25 games. And I think that that's how they're going to get Zach Britton onto the 25-man roster to start the season. I just want to know what happens from a roster management standpoint of when that time comes,
yeah. I mean, it's the aspect of they're going to try to dangle Zach Britton or Brian Mattis out there and say, if anyone interested, try to come and get this guy and see what they can make do with him.
I got to tell you, before tonight, I would have laughed at that, but the Orioles may try to get better. Who knows?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so who's that fifth starter? One other thing that I want to talk about when it comes to the pitchers is, you know, we used to do a segment at the top of the show, maybe we'll get back to that, called the Medical Wing. But we've got some guys from the pitching staff itself who are a little dinged up.
Yeah, there's a few people dinged up. You know, the one person that I think we have to mention is Miguel Gonzalez. He had some back tightness. They basically said it's a non-concern. But whenever you're dealing with the back, I don't know. It's just maybe it's me just getting older, but I just have a lot of issue with that. Just like, you know, you wouldn't think the back is that big of a deal. But when you're, you know, throwing back in rotation, that's a huge deal for a pitcher from just power and everything, because again, you're not able to get the full twist of the motion.
Right, all that torque.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that Miguel Gonzalez has been very quietly a very solid contributor to this rotation. I mean, he has at times been stellar, you know, at Yankee Stadium in the high, you know, octane, high pressure situations.
Well, he's a Yankee killer, basically.
He did have a rough patch last season. But I mean, if he's out for any length of time, that can seriously impact the way that this rotation is put together.
Well, it impacts the rotation, but it also might exasperate the aspect like we were talking about. It might push Gausman up into the rotation, right, and say, you know what, you can't really get everything nailed down in AAA. You need to come up right now to the rotation and start pitching as the fifth starter, which we saw how well that worked last year.
Of course. I also want to take something of a mea culpa, because I have been dismissing Dylan Bundy as a discussion topic for 2014 because he's so far away from pitching. You know, coming back from the Tommy John surgery, we got that famous quote of, oh, we hope to have him back in June. I think that came from him himself.
Yeah, that's generally the case. Is people always said it's always going to be a year before they can come back and start pitching. When I was like, okay, well,
but I always assumed that that would be the time that he would get back to pitching. Period.
Correct.
And who knows
rehab when, games right, and stuff exactly. like that. Yeah.
Who knows how long he'd be able to contribute at the major league level if it's decided that he's ready to right. contribute at the major league level. Because remember, this is a guy who has not seen a whole lot of time at Double A.
Now, I think mean, that we both covered this when he actually went under Tommy John surgery. We basically said 2014 is pretty much written off. There's no way he gets to the major leagues. If he does some minor league games, great. But you're looking at him maybe in spring training of 2015 as saying, okay, maybe he has a possibility of contributing to this team.
I'm going to go on record and say I could have been totally wrong about this because it really sounds like
I think we were both wrong.
I think the Orioles do expect him to contribute at the major league level soon and that they are targeting that June timeframe for him to be there in the bigs. You know, some quotes recently.
And Brittany Giroli has been all over this. We have got to give her credit. When this news was starting to break, a lot of the beat writers, especially for the Baltimore Sun, pretty much completely neglected this. But Giroli was right on this and, you know, I don't quite understand how the rest of the Orioles media didn't cover this right away because, again, this is, you know, a prospect that was within the minor league baseball that was your, like, number two or number three prospect.
Sure, nationally hyped.
Right, exactly. This is a nationally hyped prospect. So it would just be like, oh, he's injured, you know, we don't need to follow him. This is a huge story. I mean, this is probably the biggest story right next to Manny Machado in spring training right now.
Well, it does look like he's going to be back. And again, it looks like he's going to be back at the right time because hopefully nothing happens. But that June timeframe is when basically you get your first big blow from an injury standpoint.
Well, it's weird. You're getting aches and bruises and stuff like that. And, you know, as I hate to pull the cliche up, but it's, you know, not a sprint, it's a marathon. And the aspect is right past the All-Star game, people are going to be nicked up. So you want to basically say, okay, we got players that are nicked up. We can bring Bundy up and put him into the bullpen, for example, and basically say, you know what, we're going to have you throw two or three innings in the bullpen, send you back down to AAA, and you can work on some stuff again. It comes back to that whole Gausman and McFarland thing where you have the ability to bring him up and down because of his options.
All right, you brought up Manny, but I'm gonna hold off for just
That's
a second.
Fine. That's
I
fine.
Stay with the pitchers real quick. Wayne Chen had bone spurs removed from his knee, and what's the latest on that?
He's doing a lot of agility drills in camp. He seems to be okay. But again, just something to keep an eye on. You know, strange things have been known to see with these knees. I'm going to bring up Jason Hamill. Just the aspect of, yep, you can have surgery, but strange things can come up again. Your plan for it can be completely different. It's just something to watch for. That's all.
And the other thing is that his durability has never been great. You know, he's been very good for us, but I'm not sure that he's a guy that we can depend on.
Okay,
for
I'm going to disagree with you about that to a certain regard because in 2012 he pitched 191 innings. I think we would love to have a 191 innings pitcher.
It's true.
Okay, now last year was another situation. He did get hurt, but if you could get 191 innings pitched from him in 2014, winner.
Sure.
For a third or fourth pitcher. Winner,
but you're right for the spot he is in the rotation, as we've talked about all along. You know, now with Jimenez being in the fold, he gets pushed down and 191 right. from your three or your four guy. Absolutely,
winner.
Yes,
ding
but,
ding ding.
But he did have to get pushed back between starts, even in 2012 when he did amass all those innings, so that they could keep him fresh. They were worried about him then.
They did push him back a little bit in August and September, but they had pitchers that had options. And again, this year going into it, now that they have signed Jimenez, you have pitchers with options. Got Gausman, you had the possibility of having Bundy in August and September, and you've got McFarland. You have options to move around. I'll even throw it in there for the Shiroka boys. You might even be able to put Madison there for a spot start.
We're done. Moving on. Yeah. I want to talk about two guys. First is Zach Britton. We talked about him earlier, and the fact that he's out of options. He's got to make the club or else he's going to have to pass through waivers. And frankly, I don't know if you can pass him through waivers.
There's no way he'll get through waivers.
But here's the thing. He's working with the new pitching coach, Dave Wallace, and with bullpen coach Dom Chidi.
Excuse me?
Dom Chidi.
Excuse me?
Anyway, they're working with those two guys. And he's apparently doing this deal where they've strung up these strings, the movable strings over the plate, and he's working on his command. And
it's like Cat's Cradle or something?
Basically. It's okay. A dream catcher.
Okay. You know, I would expect you to know that as a former Y counselor.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing that's troubling to me about this is that Britton is basically copped to the fact that he's trying to regain his command, which I find to be a troubling confession, you know, because he's not even being coy about it. He's saying, oh yeah, we're working on my command. I'm trying to get my command back. I don't know if he means he's trying to get it back, you know, because he's been off for the offseason, or I've sucked for the last couple of years and I haven't pitched to what I'm capable of. I'm trying to get that back if I'm going to make this club. And you remember last year, he said basically, yeah, I wasn't ready. I didn't make the club because I didn't have what it
took. We basically wrote him off right then. We're like, he doesn't have the self-esteem and confidence. He
doesn't have the makeup to be a major league pitcher.
He's not going to be a major league pitcher.
I'm concerned about that because I would love to see Britton succeed and be a good pitcher because I think he has the build.
He's got the talent. He's got the build. It's just a lot of times mental. And again, I'm going to call it the Jake Arrieta syndrome. It's the aspect of you got all the talent in the world, but you don't have any confidence in your ability to do it.
Sure. Show me consistently. The other pitcher that I think it's interesting to keep an eye on is Steve Johnson, who's working on a splitter.
Yes. And again, he started working on that splitter during the mini camp, a little bit before the mini camp, actually, earlier this winter. And that's when Brian Harvey came out. That's Hunter Harvey's father. And was showing him some tricks to throwing the splitter. And, you know, Buck mentioned this at FanFest. And I thought it was really interesting that Buck would bring that out of the blue and be like, yeah, you know, Steve Johnson is, you know, working on the splitter. And, you know, Hunter's dad is working on with it. I was like, that's really interesting. You know, Steve Johnson really has never had a place on this club ever since we traded for him. And I'm thinking to myself, is there a possibility that Steve Johnson could actually have a role in the bullpen this year?
I don't want to alarm you, but I think Buck likes our guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, you and I are big Steve Johnson fans. We hope he does well. I hope there's a spot for the club on him. I hope that he finds a way to be a meaningful contributor. You know, he doesn't have a plus fastball, and you need that in the majors, so maybe a splitter is another pitch that can differentiate him.
Yeah, it's, you know, look, I've got sources that tell me that Steve Johnson should be on this team. That source may be Dave Johnson, but it's a source nonetheless, okay?
Sources. Yeah. My son is awesome.
But Steve Johnson does have that aspect of he doesn't have the talent like Britton, but he's got the confidence to say, I'm going to throw it up there.
Sure.
And just say, hey, come and get it.
Yeah.
Come and get it.
He may not have the physical stuff, but he's got, you know, all of those intangibles that helps him get by.
The problem with it is there's going to be certain games that he's going to get hammered. I'm thinking back to that one game against Oakland, I believe it was.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where it was literally he pitched for two innings, and I was just like, womp, 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 womp. It was very sad. Very, very sad. But we'd love to see the local boy get a chance in the bullpen. I would love to see him work as the long man as opposed to like a TJ McFarland and, you know, really help to rehabilitate, you know, some of that bullpen. I think he'd be a big asset for that bullpen.
I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. All right, I held you off on position players. Let's talk a little Manny.
Okay, everyone wants to talk Manny. Everyone is following Manny. Everyone wants to see where Manny is doing. Manny's taking batting practice. He's taking fielding balls. The one thing that bothers me the most is he's not been cleared yet to run the bases or slide. That scares me beyond belief, especially when he said, you know, back at FanFest, I'm trying to relearn how to run again, and he's not being able to run the bases. This seems like a major issue to me. Maybe I'm looking too far into it. Maybe I'm not. However, you know, he could receive clearance. They've talked about doing exhibition games for him in mid-March. It just concerns me. I think we're all the opinion of let's not rush it back too quickly. Based off of everything I'm hearing and seeing, I don't think he's starting opening day. I think that they're basically building up the aspect of we're going to wait. I can easily see him starting in mid-April or late April. But I just don't see opening day for him right now.
I agree with you. Now, I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, okay. And I am not an internet doctor.
Well, I am.
But I agree.
I'm all over WebMD.
I think that this is pointing to him not starting the season. I hope the Orioles are wise enough to say, this is too important to screw up. Let's get him right before we get him back on the field. And I think that produces some complications and opportunities for guys. You know, maybe we can keep the Rule 5 draft pick, the Alamanzar guy.
Yeah, Michael Alamanzar, which, you know, funny you should mention him. You know, position players have to report by tomorrow. He's the only player so far that hasn't shown up to camp.
That is troubling.
Yeah. Not to mention, he's really your third baseman in spring training because they've already come back and said Flaherty's not playing third base.
Sure. Now, they may change their mind later, which would open up the door for a guy like Jamile Weeks.
Jamile Weeks is one person. Another person that has really come up and been a talk lately is your favorite player, Alexi Casilla.
Yeah, it's also another opportunity, though, for a guy like Jonathan Scope, who I think all expect to start in AAA, but you know, maybe he cracks the club.
Jonathan Scope is starting in the minor leagues. I understand where you crackpots are all thinking that he's going to start up in the major leagues. It's not going to happen, folks. Get over it. He's going to start in the minor leagues.
Scott, I was throwing it out as an option as I was throwing out the option of Jamile Weeks.
No. Jamile Weeks is a better option at this moment than Jonathan Scope is to start coming right out of the bat.
Yikes. okay. But getting back to Manny Machado, he may not start the season. I think it's pointing that way. I'm interested to see what happens when the position players report tomorrow on the 18th. You know, it'll be interesting to see those guys. The other thing that I think is interesting is last year, you had a couple of guys report early. This year, a ton of guys reported early. And one of the guys that intrigued me most last year was Chris Davis, who arrived early to work on his defense to make sure that now that he was going to be an everyday first baseman, that he would be, you know, an asset rather than a liability. And not only did that translate into his defense, which I did think was exemplary, right, not gold glove status, but good. But he had a monster year. I wonder if any of the guys that have shown up early, that are putting in the extra reps, that are being clearly serious about their business, are going to, you know, take that next step.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, that really comes back to the backup catchers, is the two people that have been there the earliest. Those backup catchers, Manel and Clevinger, are really fighting for that backup catcher spot. And I think this is a great opportunity for them because they're looking and saying, okay, I'm going to get hopefully serious reps because we're trying to eliminate some of the bats that, you know, Wieters has been taking, try to take some of the burden off of him. And, you know, we really haven't had any success with finding a decent backup catcher. Yes, I realize everyone loved it was tea time, but Tea Garden was really not a great backup catcher. Clevinger or Manel, you know, if they could be a decent backup catcher, that'd be great. I thought it was really funny to hear them talk and say, we wanted to try to catch a bunch of pitchers, including Gamboa as a knuckleballer.
Right, with a knuckler.
Just to see how things go. Again, just keep all your options open. I think those two guys are doing a great job so far of making it a competition, and I look forward to see how they do for the rest of spring training.
Okay, well, you know, Scotty, at this point, I feel like everyone's heard enough of us yapping,
yeah,
you and I. I feel like we need to bring, you know, some fresh blood, some new life, maybe some new faces from
a recent signee, maybe.
Right. Let's bring somebody else in and kind of freshen things up here. Let's take a quick break. We'll
get be
back
with our Bird's Eye View exclusive interview.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Scotty, what the hell are we doing here?
We're going Camden style.
Oh, Lord. Okay, with that wonderful musical introduction, I think we should introduce the next segment, and that is we want to get to know better some of the new acquisitions for the Orioles, specifically Seokmin Yoon, the newest Orioles pitcher, signed from Korea, and we wanted to introduce him to the Baltimore market in the vast input that the Baltimore Sports Report Network has, and our podcast specifically. But how to do it? Well, we asked for some help, and we went to the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and we pulled from that great pool of talent, Dean Eastlake. And you may know that Dean from the, of course, fantastic Orioles Spastic podcast was the force behind the Twitter phenomenon known as Chen Tweets. And we just assumed that his linguistic skills would extend beyond Mandarin Chinese to Korean. And so what we've done is we've invited Dean to join us to do a little bit of translation in something we'd like to call Yoon Tweets, as we talk to Seokmin Yoon and we get to know him a little bit better and what it means for the Orioles. So without any more awful ado, Dean, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, it is a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be standing next to Seokmin Yoon to feel the baseball flowing in our veins finally.
This is an honor, really, because this is the first exclusive interview with Seokmin Yoon from an Orioles podcast or media aspect. I mean, Gary Thorne or, you know, Jim Palmer haven't even had a chance to talk to him. So it's an honor to have Dean Eastlake there to talk to him. So you want to just dive into questions and see where it leads us?
Are you guys ready on that side?
He's looking eager. He's looking at me now. And is he saying something? Oh, yeah, he's just giving me the nod. The nod says he's fine.
Okay.
He's ready to go.
Well, let's go. I'm just going to start, I guess, at the top here, and I'm going to ask, how does it feel to be a part of the Baltimore Orioles?
뭐 감독님한테 얘기 드렸었는데 뭐 조용히 뒤에서 많이 응원해 주신다고 얘기하셨고요. 뭐
Ah, yes. He says, you know, there weren't a lot of options out there in the field, but he went ahead and settled for a team that was willing to give him just 3 years and only $6 million. He doesn't look too happy.
That makes sense. I mean, that's how I would approach it, I assume.
We like our players desperate and angry.
All right. Let's move on. This is a professional operation. Let me ask you this. How did the physical process go for you when it came to having a physical with the Baltimore Orioles?
뭐 아직까지는 뭐 뭐라고 얘기를 드리기 좀 힘들고 그냥 좀 에이전트 만나보고 그다음에 좀 휴식 기간이 길 것 같아서 좀 몸도 운동을 하려고 가는 거니까 뭐 갔다 와서 11월 초에 FA 신청하고 나서 뭐 그때 돼야지 뭐 저도 알 수 있을 것 같아서.
Wow. I don't know how much of this is going to translate, guys, but he said there were several doctors present going through this. There was orthopedists, cardiologists, neurologists, psychologists. What was the last one? Okay, none of that. But he said, however, getting past the doctors that were in accounting and business management were probably the most difficult.
Whoa. Those aren't the doctors that we're normally used to hearing about, you know. Are you sure you translated that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds confident. I think we can move on past that.
I'll take that confident. All right, here we go. Next question. With Scott Boras being your agent, has he really given you any information on some of your new teammates like Chris Davis or Matt Wieters, whom he also represents?
뭐 될지 안 될지 모르겠지만 된다면은 뭐 열심히 해가지고 뭐 적응 잘하고 그래가지고 좀 개인적으로 망신 안 당하게끔 열심히 하겠습니다.
Well, a very stern face he's giving me here, and he's saying that he shouldn't be getting used to them being anywhere near him in the next 2 or 3 years. He shouldn't get used to them being there. He's very emphatic about this.
Wow, that's maybe he knows something we don't know.
Can we move on, guys? He just does not like talking about Chris Davis or Matt Wieters.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Let me ask you this. Do you think you'd see more success in the starting rotation as a starter or coming out of the bullpen?
지금 뭐 이 정도밖에 모르겠습니다. 일단 뭐 감회가 새로운 건 사실이고 또 오늘 가자마자 현진이 경기 볼 텐데 뭐 보면은 좀 하고 싶다라는 마음과 뭐 엔도필도 많이 들 것 같고 그냥 좋은 생각 많이 하고 돌아오겠습니다.
Yes. I mean, obviously, Mr. Yoon, he needs to be a part of that starting rotation. He thinks he deserves to be there. And last year's team had such great veteran pitchers such as Freddy Garcia. He seems to be laughing a little bit under his breath. And he also says he thinks he can be competitive with fellow teammates, he put in parentheses, I think, Zach Britton and Brian Mattis.
Whoa, the Shiroka boys are not going to like to hear those parentheses around Brian Mattis.
All right, well, let's move on before this gets ugly. Let me ask you this, in a, you know, kind of outside of baseball type of thing. Do you see yourself being or becoming good friends with Wei and Chen, considering that you have something of a connection from, you know, coming from elsewhere?
제가 잘해야 될 것 같습니다. 네, 저도 뭐 9년간 정들었던 팀에서 열심히 했고 뭐 다시 돌아갈 수도 있지만 또 다시는 기아 유니폼을 못 입을 거란 생각도 해봤고요. 그렇기 때문에 좀 9년 동안 뭐 제대로 한 게 보여준 게 없어서 좀 미안하기도 하고 뭐 그동안 뭐 고맙고 감사했다는 말 전하고
싶습니다. These are really long responses.
Yeah. Wow. The emotion.
Political question there, I mean.
Guys, I really hope I can get this emotion across on this one. Do you really believe that just because they're both the Pan-Asia that they're going to be great friends? Wow. He says the Republic of Korea has greater relations with the public, the People's Republic of China, more so than the independent state of Taiwan. He sees the relationship between their countries to him is more of diplomatic means when necessary, but it's a competition to who can be the best. But for the Orioles, of course.
Of course. I mean, that's what's the most important thing of all. We don't really care about, you know, United Nations or anything like that. We just care about what your ERA going to be.
I like his restraint. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, moving away from that, let me ask him, what do you know about Baltimore itself?
볼을 처지는 아니어서 원하는 팀이 있다면
예. 선발로 뛰고 싶은 의사가 있기 때문에 아무래도 뭐 중간이나 중간 투수가 아닌 좀 선발로 뛸 수 있는 팀을 가고 싶은 생각이 많습니다.
Well, so, okay. He says he's heard that it's just a crime-ridden city full of illicit materials and corrupt politicians, and it shouldn't be a problem for him moving here and adapting.
Well, it looks like he's got a solid footing of what he should expect here. All right, moving deeper into Baltimore, I mean, are you at all familiar with any of our local customs or I mean, have you ever had a crab cake?
뭐 현진이하고 워낙 뭐 잘하고 있는 선수고 개인적으로 뭐 비교는 안 된다고 생각하고요. 뭐 열심히 해가지고 뭐 아직 어떻게 될지 모르겠지만 최선을 다해서 뭐 좋은 결과 나올 수 있도록 하겠습니다.
But yeah, they're actually at the airport. They had to fly back to Canada to resolve the visa situation down in Sarasota. So,
right. I mean, we're moving a lot here. So
that's what happens when you're working for Dan Duquette. I mean,
I've never doubted my translating abilities, but this one, I'm going to go ahead and say with an eyebrows raised regarding the crab cake. He said, "I've only heard stories of this exotic treat, but it arouses me much."
Yeah, there's no way that can't be the case.
He's licking his lips and rubbing his nipples.
As long as he's not licking your lips, I think we're fine.
Well, we're good there. Actually, no, sit over there, Sim. Please give me room. Okay.
All right, let's move on before this gets hot and heavy. Let me ask you this: what are your thoughts on Buck Showalter?
지금 이 정도밖에 모르겠습니다. 일단 뭐 감회가 새로운 건 사실이고 또 오늘 가자마자 현진이 경기 볼 텐데 뭐 보면은 좀 하고 싶다라는 마음과 뭐 엔도필도 많이 들 것 같고 그냥 좋은 생각 많이 하고 돌아오겠습니다.
Bouts of laughter. He could barely finish. I'm sure you guys heard it in that clip. He says that he's a very funny man. He'd enjoyed him very much when he interacted with George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Yes. I mean, he was very funny back then. But the other thing at that point is that Showalter was also working for the Yankees.
지금 뭐 이 정도밖에 모르겠습니다. 일단 뭐 감회가 새로운 건 사실이고 또 오늘 가자마자 현진이 경기 볼 텐데 뭐 보면은 좀 하고 싶다라는 마음과 뭐 엔도필도 많이 들 것 같고 그냥 좋은 생각 많이 하고 돌아오겠습니다.
Oh,
what was that?
Yeah, he's a little taken aback here. He says, who is to say that he's not still work for the Empire of the West? We hold great regard for the Empire and the conquests of Mr. Derek Jeter.
I'm sorry.
What?
He is...
Are you saying that you actively root for the New York Yankees?
He just took off his first layer of clothing. He has pinstripes on.
그냥 좀 에이전트 만나보고 그다음에 좀 휴식 기간이 길 것 같아서 좀 몸도 운동을 하려고 가는 거니까 뭐 갔다 와서 11월 초에 FA 신청하고 나서 뭐 그때
wow. root he says root no he doesn't just root but work yes he works for the Yankees. Why else do you think that Boris would agree to such a contract with Baltimore?
Well, this is awkward.
I feel like we've gone to a bad place here. We may want to wrap this interview right here at this point.
Dean, good luck with that, taking him out to Canada. You might just want to leave him out there. Just let him know that he knows like Justin Bieber or something like that just to prevent him from coming back, okay?
I have you guys to thank for sore nipples and a search for crab cakes in Canada. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Like I said, if you can help him to satisfy that crab cake urge, do the best you can. It's the best thing that you can do to being a fellow Baltimore citizen.
Dean, I'm going to need you to take one for the team, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, Dean, thank you so much for joining us again. Dean can be heard on the Orioles Spastics podcast or internet broadcast, whatever you're calling yourself these days. And we look forward to hearing more from you. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy those drinks.
All right. Bye. That's right, it's that time again. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. As is our custom, I'm going to go ahead and get started because, well, I like to leave the last word for Scotty. My good for this week is the Orioles. My good is the Orioles because they've allowed Orioles fans to step off the ledge. We've had enough good things happen in the last week with the signings of Yoon and now Jimenez that the Orioles fans can start to see there might be light at the end of the tunnel. There may be reason to hope for some O's magic as winter turns to spring.
That's such poetic. So I'm going to ruin it right here.
Please do.
My good for this week has got to be the Russian curling team. I just recommend anybody that is listening to this podcast right now, go and Google Russian curling team, Russian women's curling team, of course, but go and Google it, look at the pictures, and then come back and thank me. That's all I'm going to say.
I would chide you, but I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. You would chide me, but you would say, God, that's amazing.
Okay. I'm a big fan of curling. Yeah. I'm going to go on with my bad.
Use your broom on me, baby.
And my bad this week is Ray Rice. Now, I think it's important for us not to jump to conclusions. I think it's important for us to wait to make a judgment until all the facts are out there. But on the surface of things, this looks very bad. It looks very bad from a guy who has worked hard in the community to be a good guy, to be a good citizen. And the reports that are coming out of Atlantic City are certainly not good. He didn't have a good year last year, and he is now a distraction on this team. And it also sounds like a pretty sad personal story from what few details we have. So my bad for this week, Ray Rice, for the situation taking place in New Jersey.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Totally agree.
Can you stop?
Sorry, I had to get in there at least one more time.
What is your bad?
My bad for this week is going to go into the fake interest that is being feigned by all of America in hockey. This happens every single time, people. You guys are like, oh, it's the World Cup. I've got to be interested in it. You know, I've always watched soccer. And now it's, oh, it's hockey. I'm willing to wake up at 7:30 in the morning and watch the U.S. hockey team. Get over it. Once the NHL starts up again, you're not going to watch these games. Just get over yourself. Don't think that in it, the NHL or hockey is really that great of a sport. It's terrible. Just terrible.
I'm really pissed at you right now.
I know you are.
Because I'm going to have to defend hockey of all things.
Yeah, I know.
Look, here's the thing. I have no interest in the NHL. Yeah. I have very little interest in the hockey altogether. But
yeah, see?
I do find myself compelled to watch U.S. hockey, and I think
no, that you don't. This is fake interest.
The Olympic hockey is somewhat different from the NHL, and it's interesting to me.
No, it's fake interest again.
Now, it's not interesting to the point where I'll get up at 7:30 in the morning, as you said. Yeah. But I do catch myself watching Olympic hockey, and not even just U.S. hockey. It won't happen again for 4 years. You're right. I'm just as guilty as what you're calling us out.
Exactly.
But I disagree that it's bad. I think it's fine.
You're right. If there was another sport, let me think. Oh, curling, for example.
I would watch curling all day and night.
Exactly. You would watch curling much more so than hockey. It's the aspect of you are more so watching the aspect of I'm not going to be able to see this event for 4 years, more so than the aspect of I'm really interested in hockey.
All right, you win.
Yeah, I know. All right, Jake, ugly.
All right, my ugly is actually going to follow the Olympic theme that we've got going on here. My ugly for this week, Bob Costas's eyes.
Oh.
That was awful.
Oh. First of all, excellent choice.
Bob Costas's eyes is the stuff of which my nightmares are made. Yeah. Did you see the picture where they took his mouth and they put it over top of his eyes?
Really?
That was,
you wanted to bring that up again?
That was basic.
I just got over that. Okay.
That was basically what I saw every time I looked into those pink eyes. That was.
Whew. Let me just tell you how drastic the situation is for NBC Sports. They had to bring Meredith Vieira on to do the hosting gigs.
Well, let me ask you, which was worse, Costas's eyes or Matt Lauer's mustache?
Matt Lauer's facial hair has been absolutely atrocious. I've actually said to my wife, when you start making Al Roker look good, you've basically fallen off the ship, okay?
They've jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, my ugly this week, both literally ugly and frighteningly ugly, Bob Costas' eyes.
Okay. For those individuals that do not like political commentary, tonight is the time to turn off your podcast at this moment.
Okay, good night, folks. Nice talking to you.
Yes, exactly. For those individuals that do like political commentary, I do believe I need to say something at this moment. As everyone has aware that is listening to Sports Talk Radio, we had an individual come out as gay within the NFL. Michael Sam came out, a player from Missouri. I really didn't think this was going to be that big of a story personally when it came out, but it definitely got some major media coverage, mainly because of the ignorant comments from the public. But the one person that really struck me as just being completely ignorant, who is my ugly for the week, is going to have to be Michael Sam's father, who came out and basically said, I cannot support him. I cannot support the family that he is. He pretty much disowned his son. I just can't stand that. I can't tolerate that. I don't know how any individual can actually feel that way about their son, their daughter, or anybody that they know. I personally like to live in a situation where I am understanding and like to appreciate everything it is. From a person that has a father who is a gay and homosexual, I really can't stand people that come out like that and basically say, I can't accept you for who you are. So for that, that is my ugly for the week. Please, people, embrace some love and embrace people for who they are, and let's move on.
That was surprisingly deep and respectful in the way that you handled that particular topic.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know what to make of that.
I know.
I'll co-sign every bit of that.
Yeah, I know you would.
All right, well, with that, Scott, because I'm so blown away by your...
I know, you're just like, he's going to be, he said something that is, you know, irreprehensible or politically immoral or racist or something like that.
I was ready to be horrified, and because of that, I have absolutely nothing with which to blow this save.
Okay, let me ask you this question. I'm going to go back to the Kendrys Morales thing. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Kendrys Morales signed within the next 2 weeks.
I don't think it happens. I'd love it to happen.
Okay, I'm putting it on record. Kendrys Morales will be signed with the Baltimore Orioles within the next 2 weeks.
Jinx.
Yeah. Anything else going on in the world of Birdland that you wanted to talk about, Jake?
I think I'm empty.
You're completely empty.
Yes.
You've blown your wad.
I have nothing else to say. You have left me speechless.
Wow.
How often does that happen?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll leave. You can go back to writing song lyrics for the Baltimoreans, and we'll come back from there. Let's see what happens in spring training, folks. We got a lot of interesting things going on.
I do have one more thing.
Oh, you're going to blow a save. Go ahead.
Scotty, this is our return to weekly podcasts.
Okay.
So we are abandoning the every 2 weeks format now that there's actually stuff going on in the world of Orioles baseball. We'll be back week after week as you have been dreading.
So, folks, check in next week. And with that, I think it's time for us to say adieu.
Baltimore and beyond, I bid you a fond adieu.
Good night, Baltimore.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.